Welcome to City Harvest Sermon Podcast. Coming up is a word from Pastor Bobby Chow.
Now, 2 weeks ago, Pastor Kong shared with us on the kingdom of God. And in Matthew 6:33, you heard earlier, and Jesus said this, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all that you need shall be added to you." Now, we learned that the kingdom of God is the rule of God. And the more Jesus reigns in you, the more His righteousness reigns in you, the more you walk in victory, the more victorious your life will be. As such, we must seek the rule of God in our lives. So today, I want to share with you about this attitude of seeking. The title of my message is "More of You, Lord." More of You, Lord. Now, we're going to look into the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. So let's begin. Luke 4 and verse 14. It says here, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of Him went out through all the surrounding region." You will find that one of the most distinctive features of Jesus' life and ministry was the power of the Spirit. It was the power of the Spirit that attracted people to Jesus. But the Bible is not just talking about His power for ministry, such as preaching the gospel or healing the sick. In fact, when you look at Jesus' life, His entire earthly life was lived in the power of the Spirit. Just consider, at His birth, Jesus was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "And the angel answered and said to her," to Mary, "the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the most of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." And then, look at the growth of Jesus. By the time you come to Luke chapter 2, verse 40, it says here, "The child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Now, this word, grace, in Greek is charis. It means divine influence. That means all throughout his childhood, his growing up years, Jesus had the divine influence, the power of God on his life. Now, this became obvious when Jesus was at the Jordan and when he was baptized. In Luke chapter 3, look at verse 21. It says Jesus was also baptized, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. Now, John the Baptist saw the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus. Very visible. In fact, the Chinese Bible says that the Holy Spirit descended and 住在他的身上, which literally means the Holy Spirit remained and took up residence in Jesus. You see, Jesus did not merely have a touch-and-go encounter with the Holy Spirit. He did not just have a one-time experience at the baptism or in a weekend service. He had the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit remaining on him 24/7, 7 days a week. In fact, when Jesus was going through difficult times, like temptations, trials, and troubles, he was still walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Consider his temptation. Luke chapter 4. Look at verse 1. "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and being tempted for 40 days by the devil." Can you see, even in the wilderness, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. Be it good times or bad times, Jesus was always living in the power of the Spirit. There was not one moment in his life when Jesus was living independently or overcoming Satan and temptations by his own strength or ability. It was always by or with the power of the Spirit. In fact, when you come to Luke chapter 4, now, did you notice that we just went through Luke chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4? Every single chapter, Jesus was walking in the power of the Spirit. And when you come to Luke 4, Jesus began his ministry. He declared that everything that he did, be it preaching, healing, deliverance, they were all done in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Luke 4, 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to those who are captive." What is Jesus trying to show us? You know what, church? The power of the Spirit is not just for work or service or for ministry. The power of the Spirit is for living. And as He is, so are we in this world. Jesus showed us how to live life. So, number one, Jesus was born by the power of the Spirit, so are we. When we are born again, we were born again only by the power of the Spirit. John 3, 5, Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." You can never enter the kingdom of God by your own cleverness, by your own good works, or by your own strength. It is only by the power of the Spirit. Then number two, notice Jesus grew up in the power of the Spirit. So should we. We can only grow into Christ's likeness, walk in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control only by the power of the Spirit. That is why Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, he said, "We are being transformed into the same image." Image of who? Jesus Christ. "From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So Pastor Kong has been sharing with us, right? He taught us that the kingdom righteousness is zero anger. How to zero anger? No frustration, no losing of temper. Perfect purity. No unclean thoughts whatsoever. No lustful desires. Perfect honesty. Speak the truth only. No lying. Your word is your bond. Perfect love. Always patient, kind, forgiving, even to our enemies. How can we live like that every day? Friends, only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then, number three, we saw Jesus overcame temptation by the power of the Spirit. You know what? So can we. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. It says, "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires." So how do we crucify the lust of the flesh? How to die to all the wrong desires? Well, the answer is in the next verse. Look at verse 25. It says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." The only way to overcome the temptations is by the power of the Spirit. Then number four, we saw Jesus ministered by the power of the Spirit. So must we. Remember one time in John 14, Jesus told the disciples, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, what are the commandments of God? The commandments of God can be summed up in two statements. Number one, love God wholeheartedly. Number two, love people fervently. And how do we love people? Find a need, meet it. Discover a hurt, heal it. Now, how do we go about serving people? You know what? In our world today, very complicated. The needs are now becoming more and more complicated. The problems are now becoming more and more difficult to solve. How to meet people's needs? How to heal people's hurt? Well, the answer is in the next verse. Verse 16, Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth." How do we serve? By the power of the Spirit. So can you see, right from the beginning, from the new birth to the growing in Christ-likeness, overcoming sin and temptation, serving others, there's only one way to live life: by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is for living. Apart from the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. As such, the anointing and the power of the Spirit is not something good to have. It is not something optional. Rather, it is an absolute necessity. Turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, it is absolutely necessary. Amen. You see, the Bible talks about we are to God the fragrance of Christ. Can all of us say together, the fragrance of Christ? The fragrance of Christ. Now, what does it mean by fragrance? Now, to better understand this term, you must understand Bible times. Now, during those times, the people in the Middle East, they did not have tap water. Hygiene was substandard. Water was precious, especially in deserts. So when you have water, water was reserved for drinking, not for bathing. So you can imagine back then, people under the hot sun, sweating, they smell. So they would apply on them anointing oil so that they can smell there's a fragrant. So they will apply on them, anoint themselves with fragrant oil. Now, without this ointment, people around them would smell the odor of their natural man. Now, recently, interesting, because my son went to the army, so I got to help him do a packing list, I got to share with him some of my experience, right? Yeah. So we were looking at the army packing list for the BMT. So I Googled to try to kind of catch up now in recent, because when I went to the army, it was in 1993. So I was Googling and trying to find out what do they pack nowadays. Okay, most of the things are still the same, like extra gutters, Ziploc bag, black tape, right? Stuff like clothes hanger, those who went to the army, you know all this stuff. But then there was one that was high up on top of the list. It is called Febreze. I was thinking, what? Why bring Febreze for what, right? Why bring Febreze? Now then, after he went to BMT, I understood. Because during the 2 weeks of confinement, most of the soldiers nowadays, they don't wash their uniform for 2 weeks. The sweat, the tears, right? The mud. They always have an odor on their body because of this. So when you're in camp, nobody cares. Everybody smells the same. But then 2 weeks later, they book out. And when you're in BMT, you book out in number 4, right? In your uniform. So when they book out, they got to take the public transport, the bus, the MRT. So what do? They need to mask their natural smell. So that is when Febreze comes in. So I asked him, when he came back, I said, "Hey, so do you guys really use Febreze?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Everyone? Yes." I said, "How about those that don't have Febreze? They all borrow from me." Everybody did. To what? To mask their natural smell. Oh, my question is this, church. What do people smell when you step into the room? What do people smell when you are around? Is it anger, bitterness, envy, gossip, lust? Or will they smell the fragrance of Christ? Church, we need the anointing and the power of the Spirit to cover us every moment of our life. If not, the odor of that fleshly, carnal nature will keep surfacing. And sometimes, you know, sometimes I hear members say this. They say, you know what? Wow, today is Friday. I am going to fast and pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit because tonight I got to lead cell group, right? I got to lead in worship. Or sometimes they will say, this week I need the grace and the leading of the Holy Spirit because I need to make a presentation in my office. I need to bid for a business project. I need to go for an interview. You know what? When we make statements like that, what are we thinking? We are thinking we only need the power of the Spirit for work, for projects, for service, and for ministry. But this evening, I want you to have a paradigm shift. Because the truth is, you need the anointing and the power of the Spirit every day of your life. It is for living. It is for living. Therefore, we must not be cavalier or indifferent towards the Holy Spirit. Because familiarity breeds contempt. And that was exactly what happened in Luke chapter 4. Remember, earlier I shared with you, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. He stood in the synagogue, open to the book of Isaiah, declared that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Then, let's continue, verse 20. Then Jesus closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? Now notice, the people there clearly saw that something was different with Jesus. They could sense the power and the authority that he carries. They even bore witness and they marveled. However, their response was so contradicting. They were mocking Jesus. They say, isn't this the carpenter's son, Joseph's son? You see, what happened is that Galilee was Jesus' hometown, the place he had grown up. Since he was a boy, the people had heard and saw many signs and wonders of God. On Jesus' life, they saw the miracles such as his virgin birth. His hometown people knew what happened. Now, you would expect that these people would be so proud of Jesus. You know what? He from my hometown. You would expect that the people would have believed in him. But yet, they were indifferent, skeptical, disrespectful towards him. They say, what's the big deal? He's just a carpenter's son. Isn't he the one that played soccer and grew up with us? Now, why did they behave like this? Because familiarity breeds contempt. Friends, if we are not careful, this same attitude can grow and fester within us. That's why Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. That means we need to desire earnestly. We need to even crave for it. What about you City Harvest? What about you, church? What's your attitude? Have you become indifferent and cold towards the power of the Spirit? Maybe you think, I've heard all these sermons before on YouTube, Facebook, all same one. Or perhaps you are thinking, I've experienced miracles, power of the Spirit many years ago. I've been a Christian for 2 decades. I've checked all the Christian boxes. Serve in the ministry, usher, choir, check, check. I finished all the Bible study program. Although I don't have any encounter nowadays, you know what? Life goes on for me. I don't need this. Friends, yes, you may have many experiences, but the question is, what about now? What about tonight? Are you still walking in the Spirit with Jesus? Are you still growing, desiring, seeking, hungry for more of His kingdom today? So, to address the attitudes of the people in Galilee, their cavalier attitude, Jesus went on to remind them of two stories. So let's read on, two stories. Verse 24. Then Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land." Now this verse speaks of our time. Let me paraphrase it. It says, "For truly I tell you, there were many people in Singapore, COVID-19 situation, lockdown at home, the heaven was shut up." No, the doors were shut for hopefully not 3 years and 6 months. "But there was a great famine throughout." So everybody was in the same problem, famine problem. "But," verse 26, "to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath, to a region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow." Verse 27 says, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman, the Syrian." Wow. What happened to these two persons? Number one, the story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. This story took place during a great famine in 1 Kings 17. Now, the prophet Elijah went to Zarephath and met a widow who had run out of food. The widow was planning to eat her last meal with her son, and then they die. So here comes Elijah. Look at verse 13 of 1 Kings 17. Verse 13, it says, "And Elijah said to her, 'Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourselves and your son.'" No, this is unbelievable, ridiculous to me. I say, how can you go and ask from a poor widow, last meal, going to die already, and you still can ask the person for the person's food? How can you do that? How could Elijah ask for bread to eat first when the widow was about to die of hunger? But you know what? What was even more shocking to me, was that the widow agreed and acceded to Elijah's request. You see, and when that happened, a miracle did happen. In verse 16, it says, "The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry." Wow. Okay, big question. Why would the widow trust Elijah's word? Why she did that? She don't care about her son? Why she do that? Why would someone even in the right mind would do that? You know what? Because the widow recognized her absolute poverty. She knew that she could not save herself anymore. She could not save her son anymore. Absolute poverty. And remember what Jesus taught us in the first Beatitude? In Matthew 5:3, He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Absolute poverty in the spirit. You see, church, if you want God's kingdom rule, if you desire the power of the Spirit to live a victorious Christian life, first, you must recognize your absolute poverty. You cannot save yourself anymore. Because as long as you think that by your own cleverness, you can get out of your mess, by your own intelligence, you can settle the chaos at home or the crisis at work, you will not experience the fullness of the kingdom rule, the power of the Spirit. To experience the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, like the widow, we must be broken. Broken before the Lord. There must be a cry. A cry again that says, "Jesus, I cannot save myself from my anger, from the cravings of the flesh." When you come to the end of yourself, that is where the power of the Holy Spirit will be experienced to the fullest. "Apart from you, Lord, I can do nothing. So I pray, more of you, Lord. More of you, Lord." Matthew 5:6, Jesus went on to say, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Church, I want to encourage you. Keep your hunger, keep your thirst, keep on desiring. Because the promise is, if you hunger and thirst, you shall be filled. Hallelujah. Maybe some of us here, you feel really discouraged. You say, "You know what, Pastor? Week after week, we come and we hear messages to want to be like Christ. I really want to change. I don't want to shout at my parents or my children anymore. I don't want to cheat and lie anymore. I do not want to live a double life anymore. But I keep failing." Friends, you know what? By your own strength, you can do nothing. But if you can come before the Lord, broken, broken, say, "But I cannot save myself." Be honest and be broken. And be hungry and thirsty. Because all it takes is a desire. All it takes is a desire. And say, "Lord, more of you, Lord." He will fill you with His power and His anointing. Don't be like the people in Galilee. Don't become indifferent or lukewarm. You see, their problem was that they stopped seeking. They stop desiring. Oh, I pray that tonight you will have a holy dissatisfaction in your spirit. Don't stop, church. Don't stop crying out to God, "More of you, Lord. More of you, Lord." Won't you give the Lord praise tonight? Hallelujah. Elijah and the widow. But then there's a second story. The story of Elisha and Naaman. Now, who was Naaman? Now, Naaman was a great Syrian general. But he had leprosy. One day, he heard that this prophet Elisha could cure leprosy. So Naaman went to Elisha with loads of gifts and fanfare to impress Elisha. So Elisha did not, but then when he came, Elisha did not even come out of his house to greet this general. So instead, Elisha sent a messenger to tell Naaman, "Go and bathe yourself in the Jordan and you shall be clean." Now, look at Naaman's response. Verse 11 of 2 Kings 5. Okay, it says, "But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. But he didn't even come out to greet me. So what happened? Verse 12. So Naaman turned and went away in a rage. But you know what? Thank God, later, Naaman changed his mind and he decided to obey. So verse 14, it says, so he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child and he was clean. You know what? Naaman was saved. He was healed because he was willing to humble himself. Humble himself before the Lord. Oh, City Harvest, if you want to live in the power of the Spirit, there are many lepers in the land that year, but none was healed except one because he chose to put aside his pride and ego. Put away your ego. It is not worth it. Put away your pride and come before the Lord. Humble before the Lord. Be humble. And the power of God will hit you. Hallelujah. See, John Sung is often remembered as the Wesley of China. He was also known as the Apostle of China. Many considered him to be one of the greatest preachers of this century. In just 10 years, John Sung preached the gospel and converted 100,000 people to Jesus Christ. Now, his ministry carried such power of the Holy Spirit that he literally shook the church in China and Southeast Asia. How did he move in such power and anointing? You see, John Sung was totally surrendered to the Holy Spirit. You see, you must understand his background. John Sung was a brilliant student. Now, we are talking about 1920s, in the 1920s. He got his doctorate in chemistry in America. But when he received the call of God into full-time ministry, he decided to return to China. He gave up the opportunity to live a comfortable life in the West. But just before he landed in China, he took up all the academic awards, medals, accolades. He took out his doctorate degree, stood by the shore, and he tore the degree and threw them all into the sea. Why? Because he wanted the Lord to know that apart from you, I can do nothing. He humbled himself before the Lord, not by my own strength, not by my own intelligence. Church, how about you tonight? How about you? Have you been so caught up with the pursuit of education, money, fame, career, opportunity, that you have no room for the Holy Spirit? Maybe you're thinking, it doesn't matter, I'm not serving in ministry anymore. Remember the people in Galilee? We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Won't you humble yourself before the Lord again and again? And cry out, more of you, Lord. More of you, Lord. Church, let's not become complacent or cavalier with the Holy Spirit. You see, the story of the widow reminds us, don't stop desiring. Because all it takes is a desire. Can we all say together, those online you can shout, but those who are here, shall we all say together, desire. The story of Naaman reminds us to stay humble because apart from the power of the Spirit, we can do nothing. Can we all say together, humble, humble. Amen. You see, this past 1.5, maybe 1 year and 4 months, this COVID situation has been ongoing for like more than a year. All overseas travels, mission trips have come to a halt. Now, it impacted my life quite a bit, because before that I travel all the time. But suddenly my whole life came to a complete halt. Now, one of the best things that happened for me is that I now have a more routine lifestyle. I get to sleep on the same bed every night. I can wake up at regular hours. You know what? Each morning, I would sit at my dining table. I'll spend an hour praying and crying out to the Lord. And very often, in fact, every single day, I pray, "More of you, Lord." Often I pray, "God, I've been a Christian for 32 years. I mean, when you're in church for 32 years, you hear many sermons. I told the Lord, I don't want to sit in a service, walk away, and not being touched by you. I want to cry again. I want to be touched by you again." How about you? When was the last time you desire, you long, you hunger, you crave more of you, Lord? And I found that the more I desire, the hungrier I become. All it takes is one desire. I know that there are many critics out there on the internet who challenge the subjects on the anointing. They challenge the power of God. Some even mock at miracles, signs, and wonders. Some critics will say, "You know what? Better don't focus on so much on the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because people will abuse the anointing. They will use it for selfish gain, personal agenda. People become proud and arrogant. And when they start moving the power of the Spirit, when they start having miracles, signs and wonders, they go crazy." You know what, church? Let me tell you the truth. Sure, as long as human beings are imperfect vessels, there will be abuses. But, don't end up like the Galileans. Don't end up like the Galileans. Because it doesn't negate the fact that the Bible teaches that we need the power of the Spirit every single day. The more I know the Lord, the more I realize I need Him more. By myself. In every aspect of life and ministry. And I'm not talking about just service. I'm talking about living life in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what, church? I am not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. I am not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. Recently, I've been meditating on John chapter 12 and verse 3. It says here, "Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil." Here you have Mary. You know what? In those days, women will save up. They will spend their entire life saving to buy a precious, costly anointing oil. So that on the day of their wedding, they'll break the vase and they'll pour it on themselves so that they will give off a fragrance ready to meet their bridegroom. The bride meeting the bridegroom. But here, Mary took this very costly oil of spikenard. She broke it. She anointed the feet of Jesus. She didn't use that anointing on herself. She used it on Jesus so that the fragrance of Christ could fill the entire room. I want the anointing. I want the power of the Spirit to move mightily in City Harvest, for ourselves? Oh, church, that's not what we are thinking. That's low-level thinking. So that we can look good, become famous. No. It is so that the fragrance of Christ can fill this room. So that when people come, they can smell Jesus. What do you smell like? We need the anointing. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. I am not ashamed of the power of the Holy Spirit, because this is the only way to live life. Won't you give the Lord a big hand clap? Amen. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed. Amen. Shall we stand to our feet? I can sense the presence of the Lord here in this place, because I know that you're hungry. You are hungry. The Bible says, if you draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. This evening, those online, don't be in a hurry to go. I mean, let's put away those attitudes. Enough. Enough. Galileans, enough. Tonight, let us change. Let us come back. Let us be hungry. Let the Lord know that we are hungry, we are thirsty. Let the Lord know that without Him, we are in absolute poverty. Amen? Won't you leave your hands wherever you are? Let's pray in tongues and let's talk to the Lord. Oh, City Harvest, let your prayers rise to the throne room of God. Let your prayers, let the cry of your heart come. Come into the secret chambers of the Lord. Some of us have not been praying for a while. Tonight, let it be a change. Let it be a change. Sikarabahanderi ala galabahanderi ala galabahanderi ala galabahanderi ala galabahai. Sukorobori ala galabahanderi ala galabahai. I can sense some of you online, the power of God is just filling your room right now. Some of you are watching on in a group, in a watch party. The power of the Holy Spirit is all over you right now. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Annabelle to lead us in a very simple, just a few lines of worship song. But as you sing, I want every word to be your prayer, your cry, your desire to the Lord. Let's turn this place to a place of cry and hunger and thirst for the Lord. Let the Lord know that in City Harvest, we will be hungry for Him. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. Hallelujah. Sikalabahan, Dirialabahan.
Spirit, come, I want more of You.
Maybe some of us, you have been so distracted. You have not been crying out to the Lord. You have been so caught up with the pursuit of education, career. And after a while, you thought to yourself, you know what? Life goes on for me. It is the same. I don't need this. Remember the Galileans. Oh, church. Won't you come before Jesus and be absolutely broken? And say, Lord, apart from you, I can do nothing. Won't you come before the Lord and say, more of you, Lord. More of you, Lord. I'm longing and I'm thirsty. Maybe some of us, because of some stumbling in your heart, doubt concerning the Holy Spirit, you have read so many materials on the internet, hear so much, and you become skeptical, indifferent, cavalier with the Holy Spirit. In fact, each time some preachers mention the anointing or the power, immediately you shut down. Oh, church, without the anointing, we can do nothing for the Lord. We just smell like our fleshly, carnal nature. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. Won't you long for Him? Won't you come before Him with a broken spirit? If that's you, wherever you are, you say, Pastor, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me tonight. Whether you're here or online, wherever you are, won't you lift both hands to the Lord? And for the next 30 seconds, won't you just pray in tongues? That's right, pray in tongues. Let the Lord know. That's right, some of us, you got to pray again. Some of us, you got to pick up your guitar and sing to the Lord again. Make room for Him. Make time for Him. All it takes is one desire. All it takes is a desire to the Lord, for the Lord. Draw me away. Draw me away.
Holy Spirit, come, come and move in us. Come and do a new thing in our hearts. We want more of you. We cry out to you.
City Harvest, love you so much. We are born, we were birthed of Holy Spirit. 32 years ago in the power of the Spirit. We grew only because of the power of the Holy Spirit. We overcame obstacles, challenges, only because of your power and your anointing and your leading. We are able to do what we do in all the ministries because of you. The power, the leading, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So tonight as a church, we cry out, more of you, Lord. More of you, Lord, in the City Harvest. More of you, Lord, in our cell group. More of you, Lord, in all the departments of our church. More of you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Don't let us go. Draw us like the Shulamite woman in the Song of Songs. She cried out, draw me away. Come and draw us away. And we will run. We will run after you. Yes, Lord. Not a cavalier. Not a cold attitude towards you. But we will run. We will run. We will run after you. Draw us away, Lord. Won't you pray for City Arms? Won't you pray for our church? Holy Spirit, come, Lord, fall fresh on us. We are hungry, we are thirsty. We are broken without you, Lord. Be your prayer to him.
Holy Spirit, come and move in us. Come and do a new thing in our hearts. We want more of you. We cry out to you. Holy Spirit,
Sigiri alama ho, sigiri alama ho,
sigiri
alaga
ho, solo
ho.
Sigiri alama ho,
Sigiri ala maho.
Solo lo ho.
Holy Spirit, Lord, tonight, humble ourselves before you. Lord, our eyes are on you. And like Mary, we say, Lord, we will pay any price. We will pay any price for you, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, for the power of the Holy Spirit, that City Harvest may carry the fragrance of Jesus. So I pray for all my brothers and sisters. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God our Father, in the communion of the Holy Spirit, may the power of the Holy Spirit, may the anointing of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Holy Spirit, come. Give the Lord a big hand clap, give Him praise tonight. Let Him know that you love Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, words cannot express our longing, our hearts, our hunger, our thirst for you, Lord. Hallelujah.
And that's the end of this week's podcast. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Email us at connect@chc.org.sg.